We're so thankful for our fathers. And this week, I asked a few of you if you'd write a couple lines on your Facebook account to talk about your father, your godly father. And the responses touched my heart. I wanted to share a few of them with you today. If we could go through those real quick. The first one, my father taught me many great things. He was a man of few words, but spoke volumes. Spoke volumes through the actions. I'll read back here because that's just way too small. Here are a couple that I had never forgotten. Let God lead your thoughts and actions. Put him first. Nothing on earth is more important than your family. Be kind to everyone and treat them the way you would want them to treat you and those you love. He also thought that the world of my husband, so I knew he was a keeper. I know that husband, and he is a keeper. Next slide. My daddy loved me when I couldn't even love myself. Never turned his back on me when I went astray and prayed for me daily. Isn't that beautiful? Next one. I had a father who showed me an unconditional love and patience. My dad taught me to always keep my word. We sang Southern gospel music together a lot. And I just think that must be a precious memory about all that beautiful music. My dad taught me honesty, a strong work ethic, and a genuine love for mankind. He led by example and was a man who could teach right from wrong without ever saying a word, just by the way he lived every day. Another one said, my daddy was a kind, loving man who loved us unconditionally. I never felt like I had to earn his love. He taught us through example that hard work pays off. My daddy was the best example of a good man and a good Christian. Next one. My daddy left this world singing, it is well with my soul. His testimony of leaning into God in his final hours has profoundly impacted the way I face trials in this life. When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Thank you for sharing that. He was a God-fearing man and touched so many people's lives. People from home will come up to me and start talking about how he helped them and how much they thought of him. Another said, my dad made sure I was in church every Sunday. I did not miss a single day of Sunday school for 19 years. Isn't that something? It's a good thing to have a godly father. But we have to confess it's not an easy thing to be a godly father. One summer evening, there was a woman who was tucking in their toddler, and this little one, while the rain began to pour, a big old thunderstorm hit, and the child was just terrified, and the mother was about ready to turn off the light when there was a little tremor in his voice out of the darkness, and the little one said, mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? The mother smiled and said, oh, baby, I can't. I need to sleep with your daddy. A long silence was broken by a little shaky voice that said, oh, the big sissy. It's hard being a father. One of my favorite quotes about being a father is this: fathers put pictures where money used to be. Think it through. Fathers put pictures where money used to be. It's not easy being a father. There was once a dad who won a toy in a raffle. It was a big old giant toy, and all the kids wanted it. He had five different children. He called his kids together to kind of figure out which one was going to get the toy. And he said, wanted to kind of teach him in the moment. He said, now, who's the most obedient? Who never talks back to their mother? Who does everything that mama says? Five small voices all answered in unison, okay, Dad, you get to keep the toy. It's not easy being a father. And so thank the Lord that we have the counsel of the Scriptures, that we can turn to the Bible and receive the guidance of how to be godly fathers. Let's read together today from Deuteronomy 6, and may the Spirit of the Lord breathe through His Word today. Deuteronomy 6:1 says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And from Ephesians 6, it says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to come together to receive your Spirit, to know your wisdom through your Holy Word. Be with us this day. Encourage us, because we confess, I confess as a father, that I know that it is difficult sometimes to be a godly father. So, Lord, today, through your Holy Word, remind us of what you call us to do. Give us wisdom so that we might be obedient to your word, so that we might do our very best for our children, to raise them up, to love you with all of their heart. We need you so. Guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for godly fathers. Thank God for the men that stand faithfully beside their wives and lead their children with love and strength. Thank God for men who understand that love is more than just a feeling that comes and goes, but a promise to be fulfilled throughout life. Thank God for them, because it seems to me that there are fewer and fewer than ever before. Philip Lancaster said this about fathers: "What this country needs is a few good men, husbands and fathers who are willing to love and lead their households with manly resolve and godly vision. Frankly, the church needs these men every bit as much as the rest of the country. We are experiencing a national crisis of manhood of epidemic proportions. Absent a revival of fatherhood, we can expect to see an ever-increasing rise in the breakdown of the Christian family as it is defined in the Holy Scriptures. What we desperately need today are men who will be family men and family leaders." Amen. The Bible has so much to say about being a godly father, and in times such as this, it's important to hear what the Scriptures teach us. And so I've identified today three characteristics of a godly father I'd like to share with you this morning. The first is this: godly fathers are first godly men. Let me ask you a question. Which do you think is worse, for a man to not bring his family to church, or to bring them and drop them off and then leave just to pick them up a couple of hours later? I guess it's worse not to come at all, but maybe not by much. Because fathers, we are continually teaching our children without a word through our actions. We are teaching them what's important and what's not. It doesn't work for fathers to know what's important but bail out and say to our children, "Do as I say and not as I do." Jesus said these very words. "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds.'" What a strange thing to say. "For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." You see, that's the very definition of hypocrisy. Rather, children must be able to see the example of Christ in their fathers. One of the most profound scriptures that I know about being a father and about being a disciple of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. It says this: "Be imitators of me just as I am of Christ." You see, the Corinthians were having all kinds of problems. They'd made so many wrong turns. Their actions weren't really matching up with the words of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, without a hint of arrogance, came to the understanding that they not only needed to read his letters, but they needed to see his actions. They needed to see his behavior. And so he says to them, "If you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian, watch me. follow me. As I follow Christ, I want you to watch me. And by watching me, you'll know what it means to be a man of faith. Watch me and follow my actions. You see, he's not saying that out of any kind of pride. He's just wanting to give an example for those that would follow. And that's exactly what godly fathers do. And what an incredible responsibility that is. You know, as I wrote the words this week, I had to hold them up to my own life, to my relationships with my sons. And I have to admit that there were times when I fell short. But even so, as we try and if we fail, see, we can even model humility. We can model forgiveness and not perfection, but we can model honest and open love. Godly fathers are first godly men. Clarence Buddington Keelan said this. He said, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Isn't that good? So many of our Facebook friends said the same thing. They said, "My father just let me watch him. His words were good, but his actions spoke even louder." And so, yes, we thank God for godly fathers. Secondly, godly fathers love their wives and their children unconditionally. The other day I was watching, surfing through the channels. I didn't watch for long, but I was surfing through the channels and I found this kind of a beauty pageant, except this beauty pageant was for five-year-olds. Have you ever seen one of that? And it was kind of troubling to me, actually, and a little bit frightening, because here you have these little five-year-olds and they've got hair that's like, poof, you know, it's just like shellacked over with hairspray. And they've got about, you know, 14 layers of makeup on it. And they really look like little dolls, you know. And I thought to myself as I watched just for a couple of minutes, I thought to myself, you know, what are we teaching those little girls? What are we teaching them? Because I'll tell you what, when they made their little spins and they did wonderful, man, the moms and dads were just head over heels. They were just celebrating when they were beautiful. They're celebrating. But oh, if they missed a turn or stumbled just a little bit, then everybody was just so upset. I guess I watched a little longer than I'm willing to admit. But what are we teaching them? That when you're beautiful, when you perform perfectly, then we're going to love you. And that's the definition of what? Conditional love. Not what Ariane talked about, not what the scriptures talk about. I wonder if we do the same thing with boys and girls on the sport field, you know, and we boast about them, we brag about them when they do great. But what if they don't win? What if they don't score? Do we withhold our love, our praise? And what are we teaching them not only about our love for them, but the Father's love for them? Godly fathers love their wives and their children unconditionally. Godly fathers model love and respect for their wives. That's so important so that their children will know how to love their spouse when they grow up. Did you know? This is a terribly sad statistic. Did you know that if a child grows up in a household where the father has abused the mother, that there's a much more significant chance that they'll grow up to be abusive themselves? That seems like counterintuitive to me, because I think if I was watching that, if someone was hurting my mom, I'd make a commitment right there that I would never, ever do that. But statistically, what they say is what we're teaching our children is this is what normal is. This is how you resolve issues. This is how you deal with anger. Children learn what love is, especially young men learn from their daddies. We all know the word unconditional in Greek is agape. It's defined as that active love of God for his son and his people, and the active love for his people to God and each other. And what every child longs for is a godly father. It implies that love is not merited, it's not earned. I love my children, sometimes my boys, you know, now 29 and 26, and I don't agree. I say a lot less about what I don't agree with now than ever before. But it doesn't matter, you know, because they are my sons. I will never turn my back on them, no matter what their behavior. Just like your heavenly Father will never do for us. Consider the father of the prodigal son. And we know this boy squandered his life. He squandered his inheritance. He lived terribly. Yet from the story, it seems that the father never gave up. He waited and he longed for his son. He watched for him. And then this culminating moment in the story, it says, so the father, he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, the idea is his father was looking for him. He was watching down the road. And his father ran to him. A Hebrew would not have run like that. It would not have been respectful, but not this one. The sandals were slapping. He was running. He goes and embraces his son. He kisses him and he says to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to chastise him. Son, it's going to be a long time before you earn your way back into my good graces. Now, if you know the story, if you know these words, you know that there is not one word of condemnation. And they began to celebrate. And we celebrate that story, don't we? We read those words and it's like a tuning fork goes off in our heart because we know that's love. We know that's right. And that's the standard by which we live that we desire for. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I love that passage. Train up in the way that he should go, not the way that I went. I never told my kids. I never told them that they should join the army. It never even crossed my mind, and I don't think it crossed theirs either. I never said, you know what, it'd be a great thing if you went into the ministry. I've known, listen, in seminary, the saddest people I ever met were those that weren't called to be there, but were there because daddy was a preacher. And it was expected of them. And I remember those glassy looks and them just being miserable there because it wasn't the way they were supposed to go. It wasn't the calling that God had put on their life. And that's the way that we should treat our children. Not that they grow up in our footsteps, other than our footsteps are leading them to God because they have a unique gift and a unique calling. And God has prepared a path for them just as surely as he has for us. And that's the way that godly fathers love their children. There's a story of a Christian lady, a true story of a Christian lady who decided that she wanted to work in a prison ministry. And she was really kind of a mother to these young men who were in prison. And she built a wonderful relationship with them. And Sandy, you'd like this. She started a card ministry because one of the young men in the prison, he said to her, you know, do you think that you could just bring me a Mother's Day card that I could send to my mom? She said, yeah, I can do that. Well, word got all the way out through the prison, and all of a sudden she had several requests, lots of requests, more than she could supply, but she was a smart woman. And so she called a card company, and she said, listen, here's the deal. These boys, they can't afford a card. I can't afford to buy them for everybody. Could you provide? And sure enough, this card company said, we'll do that. And they sent a bunch of Mother's Day cards. And the woman set them out, and every one of those cards was gone. Well, she knew Father's Day was coming, and she was going to get ahead of it a little bit. And so she called back to the company. She said, listen, Father's Day just around the corner. You think you could do the same thing for Father's Day? The guy said, yeah, we can do that. So send them those cards. She said she was absolutely shocked. She set them out throughout the prison. She said 3 years later, not one of those cards had been touched. Why do you think that is? Could it be because those fathers weren't there? Weren't there for when they needed them to be there? Weren't there to teach them how to honor God? Teach them to love their neighbor, to respect them? Because, you know, every child deserves a real father. One who takes the responsibility seriously, does them the very best to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where were they? Well, they probably just weren't around. You see, statistics tell us that when a child with an absent or distant father, they're much more likely to do drugs, engage in sex earlier. These are statistics. These aren't just opinions. They're far more likely to be involved in violence and end up in the court system. And here's the most heartbreaking thing to me. They'll be much more likely to be absentee fathers themselves. Now, I just want to tell you, fathers, thank God for you. Thank God for you who have stood up for your children. It's not easy. And you know what? We'll never minimize the impact of mothers. But you know, mothers get a lot of the credit. They get a lot of the finger paintings and a lot of the appreciation. But don't ever underestimate the value of the impact that you're having on your sons and your daughters. There's no one that can replace you. And one of the greatest ministries you'll ever have in your entire life is being a godly father. Amen? Amen. Third, godly fathers train their children how to love and honor God. Verse 7 says this, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." You know, when I was back in seminary, the final class that you take was a class called integration. And the idea was that you were going to take everything that you'd ever learned in seminary and you were going to try to apply it kind of in a bunch of different scenarios. And one of the little assignments, it was one of the minor ones, and I was just kind of annoyed by it when I started. They said, what we want you to do is when something happens during the day that something is kind of unusual, it doesn't have to be a big deal, something, you know, you might even think is just kind of common, we want you to stop and write down kind of what the theological meaning of that is. And so, for instance, you know, I remember one of them. I was driving down the road, and a guy cut me off, you know, about ran me off the road. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know. And then I thought, you know, what's the theological significance of the anger? And you might think it's silly, but I remember another time, another day, have you ever taken like a mouthful of pills? I got your vitamins. You got, for me, it's a cholesterol pill, and, you know, about five of those little pills, you know. And I was in a hurry, and I was walking out the door, and I had my coffee, and I just put them all in my mouth, and it was like, and pills all over everywhere. I wrote a little theological reflection. What's it mean when we're in such a hurry? What's that say about life? Now listen, you might think those are silly, but that's exactly what the scriptures are telling us. In those moments that we might see insignificant, those are the moments where dads can have a great impact. Those teachable moments when the little one looks up to you and says, "Daddy, why did you give that change back today? You could have just kept it. Daddy, why didn't you yell back at him when he yelled at you? Daddy, why did you give him our food?" And so the godly daddy knows to say at that moment, "Baby, because God has loved me so very much, what else can we do except be generous with all those around us?" Ephesians 6 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The greatest calling a father has is to raise his children up to the point where he can turn them over to their own heavenly Father. Sandy's dad, when she was about 16 years old, said, "You know, I've taught you everything. I've raised you in a godly home. And now it's time for you to begin your walk with Jesus." And he stepped back. Man, that's kind of frightening, isn't it? But he did a good job. That's the great thing about being a godly father. Our calling is to turn our children over to the Heavenly Father. One of the greatest impacts a father can have on our children is the way that people, our children, see God will be directly linked with the way that they see their earthly father. Psychologists would tell us if you have a whole and healthy relationship with your dad, you're much more likely to have a healthy relationship with your Heavenly Father. And what an incredible responsibility, dads. I'm thankful for you. There's a story about a young boy, and he just turned 16 years old. Fine young man. He was the son of a minister, and he came to his dad, and he said, "Dad, you know I'm 16 now." Father said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Dad, I think it's about time that we should start to talk about me driving the car. You know, I've got a girlfriend. I'd certainly like to be able to take her out on dates." Dad said, "Well, son, I know that this day was coming, and I'm thankful for it. But you know what? I just need to know that you're responsible enough to handle it. So what I want you to do is, over these next couple months, I want you to get your grades up, because they've been slack a little bit over the last bit. And so I want you to get your grades up." He said, "You know, one of the greatest things you can ever do is to read your Bible every day. So I want you to read your Bible every day." And he said, "Last thing, just three things." He said, "You got to get that haircut. It's driving me crazy." So the boy came back about 2 months later. He said, "Dad, you know what? I think it's time we talk about that car thing again." Minister said, "Yeah, I think that's right." He goes, "You know, I'm real proud of you. You got your grades up. I walk by your room. I see you reading your scriptures. Proud of you." He said, "But son, you still haven't got that haircut." Boy said, "You know what? I've been thinking about that, Dad." He said, "You know what? I've been reading the Bible, and I came to realize that Moses had long hair. Samson had long hair. And Jesus himself had long hair." The father said, "That's right. And you know what else? They walked everywhere they went." It's not easy being a dad, but it surely is a great gift and a tremendous responsibility. And thank God for godly fathers. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious Father, we thank you for your love, your patience, your perseverance with us when we fall and we fail. Forgive us of any ways that we have fallen short, and help us, Lord. I pray especially for my brother fathers today. We confess that it isn't easy. We can get so tangled up sometimes, and so we just come to you in all humility, asking for your blessing. Give us strength, wisdom, insight into our children, and help us raise them up to be godly men and women themselves. We love you, and with so many things in our life, we cannot do this without you. Watch over us, and we'll give you all the credit, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.